everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Oh, I think we're going to need the music. There it is. Everything we could jam into a Super Bowl preview. It's like jamming a stuffed toy into the mouth of a hippopotamus, making a pick, and puking it all out.
Yeah.
That's what happened at the Cincinnati Zoo during pick time.
makes you want to cry.
So what does it mean? Does it mean he picked the Chiefs, or because he puked on the Chiefs, it means he's picking the Niners?
The Chiefs make him sick.
Super Bowls where a top five passing offense has met a top five passing defense. This will be the 15th time. So, in the previous 14, does anybody know who wins out most often? Offense or defense? Anyone?
Defense.
Anyone know the record?
9-5.
Yes, Woody Page. Great job reading off the screen there. Nobody does it any better than Woody Page. All right, that's the one piece of news I can use and I pass on to you. Everything you're about to tell us can adjust that, move that in any way. We're looking for advantages here. Mina, I can hear it. You're in Miami. That bass is pumping. Blazing hip-hop and R&B. Let's start with Kansas City. Where can the Chiefs take advantage here?
A couple areas. Patrick Mahomes, you want him outside the pocket, on the move. The Niners have struggled against mobile quarterbacks at times. And you want to make Jimmy Garoppolo a drop-back passer. Now, that is not a ding on Garoppolo. He's actually been very good passing on third and long. It's more of a compliment to how terrifying the Niners' offenses off of play action. When they are multiple, when you don't know if they're going to run the ball or pass the ball, Garoppolo averages over 10 yards per attempt versus 7.3 without. So if the Chiefs can keep him in third down, ideally third and long, they have a better chance of their fearsome pass rush getting to him.
Frank Isola, where do you see the advantages in this game?
Well, I mean, it should be Mahomes. You look at what they've done in the postseason. They've scored touchdowns on 60% of their drives. That's a remarkable number. That's double what they did during the regular season. But I think they're going to have to win it by stopping the running game. They did it in the AFC Championship game. And to Mina's point, can you get Garoppolo in second and long, third and long? Now, remember, he went on the road to New Orleans and threw for 350 yards, four touchdowns. So we know he's capable of that. But I think you have to make him prove it in this game.
Mm-hmm. Woody Page, you're viewing this game. You're seeing advantages on both sides of the ball. What's the number one for you?
Well, Mahomes can't throw to himself, but he's got such an array of talent that he can throw to. And we know that Richard Sherman's going to be on what's the Chiefs' right side. So they're going to line up three wide receivers on the left side and Kelsey on the right side and say, okay, try and beat him, Sherman. I just think that when you've got a track team, as they've been described this week, of wide receivers and that kind of speed, I just don't know how the 49ers, if they stick to their zone defense, at any point they're going to get beat by the Chiefs. And Mahomes, who's going to be able to roll to his left, he shows it all year long, and work those three receivers and also go to his right with Kelsey over and over again. Kelsey's going to be a different.
So you say Kelsey is the X factor. The biggest advantage is Kansas City's speed on the field on offense. Ramona Shelburne, can you get your arms around that? What's the biggest advantage you see?
Well, I think Mahomes is the best player on the field. And he's done well in big games, especially so in the playoffs. Back-to-back games with 250 yards passing, 250 yards rushing. Only player in NFL history to do that. And he hasn't made mistakes either. 13 touchdowns in the playoffs in his career, no interceptions. So even if you get pressure on him, he hasn't been making mistakes. And I think, you know, Mina does a good job on, I was listening to her podcast the other day, talking about that front four that San Francisco has. And I'm stealing from it. If they can get pressure on Patrick Mahomes that front four without having to without having to blitz, then they've got a chance at containing him. But if they have to resort to blitzing, I say they have to go into a man defense and Patrick.
That's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see how it works out for you. Stealing Mina's material. Mina, let me ask you. We view that from the Kansas City perspective. I know you did talk to San Francisco a little bit with their play action offense. Where can the 49ers most take advantage here?
I think their run game is a total mismatch for the Chiefs' run defense. Frank mentioned that they look pretty good against Tennessee, limiting Derrick Henry, especially after contact. But even so, the Niners' run offense is a completely different animal from the Tennessee rushing attack. It's so multiple. They do everything, right? You're going to see some power. You're going to see some zone. You're going to see a ton of pre-snap deception. And the Chiefs linebackers just really aren't cut out to stop that. And the way Kyle Shanahan marries that run game with the play-action pass, I know I'm going to keep hitting that, but that play-action pass is something the Chiefs have struggled with all season.
Frank, I see you nodding along as well.
Yeah, you know, the 49ers have 57 sacks. That's the most in the NFL. In the last 15 years, there have been six teams that have gone into the Super Bowl with at least 55 sacks. All six of those teams have won. Can they get to the quarterback? And you think about Nick Bosa and that defense, they were able to do it in both their playoff games. To me, that's going to be the difference in that game. The, you know, defensive line of the 49ers, what they can do with Mahomes. But to Mina's point earlier, when she said once you have to contain him also, because that's part of what they're doing by design, letting him getting outside and create.
Sounds like you're putting a lot of stock in that stat we had to start the show. Defense wins championships, however you want it. Woody, let me ask you this, because you saw this firsthand in the Super Bowl. One of the best offenses of all time, the Denver Broncos, walked in, and they got rolled by Seattle.
Yes, and having seen 44 Super Bowls, I've totally gone toward the defense. And I think that offense doesn't travel as well as defense in Super Bowls. I just really believe that the 49ers, with that defense and what they've been able to accomplish, that is their X factor, if you will, that they're able to get to the quarterback. They don't have to actually sack Mahomes. If they can just make him comfortable, if they can make him stay in the pocket and go uphill coming in from the outside, I think that's going to make it. And again, if you blitz with your cornerbacks, that's caused problems for Mahomes all year long because he doesn't see that coming. So I think their defense, and particularly their defense on the line, is going to make a difference in the game.
Ramona Shelburne.
I mean, it doesn't have to be that complicated. The Chiefs' run defense is 29th in the league. They've given up the most receiving yards to running backs in the league. Like, if the 49ers have one of the best rushing attacks in the league, they've been downright monstrous in the playoffs. Just do that. And I know that you can't, they're going to have to probably throw the ball more than eight times, but if you stick to what you do well and Kansas City does poorly, the 49ers have a huge advantage there.
Mina, an X factor you're looking at here, who you think could really do something in this game and change the way it goes either way?
Well, I think the most important player in the game, I'm outside of, you know, the quarterbacks and the tight ends, might be Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, the Chief Safety. He's been the best player on their defense this season. He's been exceptional in the postseason, but he's going to have to play like three different positions at least on Sunday. They're going to need him, first of all, to shut down George Kittle. The Chiefs are first in the league against defending tight ends with a defensive back. They're 29th when it's a linebacker, so they want that matchup. But they're also going to have to use him as a pass rusher. They're going to have to use him in run defense. He's going to be all over the field, and he's going to have a lot on his shoulders.
Do Honey Badgers clone? Is that a possibility with 48 hours to go? Frank Isola, your X factor?
Yeah, to me, it's going to be George Kittle. Everybody made a big deal about the fact that he wasn't catching any balls in the NFC Championship game. That's because he was blocking. He is a legitimate tight end. You know, he can beat you in so many different ways. I think he's going to be the key. He'll be the safety valve for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Ramona Shelburne?
Yeah, I think it's the Niners' offensive line. They were incredible in blocking for Mostert in the championship game there. Like, he would get 3 yards without being even touched in the championship game. If they can block like that, and if they can control the possession, where you keep that Kansas City offense off the field, then the San Francisco got it.
All right, so your X factor is about five guys then, at least. Maybe you count the tight ends. What do you gave us Kelsey before? But since Ramona just gave us half a dozen, you can go.
Well, I'm going to give you an X factor that's not even in the game.
That's
Mike Shanahan. He has been in Kyle Shanahan's ear has been bleeding from his father giving him information. You got to remember that Mike Shanahan has three Super Bowl rings as a result of being the offensive coordinator last time San Francisco won. And with Denver, that running game is based totally on Mike Shanahan. And he has talked about that he gets to see every practice, every meeting, and then he talks to his son, as I said. And I think he's going to be a difference maker, even though he's going to be
up. Well, let's see if Mike Shanahan has a good game in a game he's not playing, nor is he coaching. It's good. Ears bleeding, by the way. It's a phenomenon we're all used to on this show. Yes, exactly. All right, Mina Kimes, how will this game be won?
I think it's going to be high scoring. I think both these offenses are better than both of these defenses. And as a result, I think it could come down to just one or two stops, which is why I'm picking the Niners, because I think that defense and that pass rush is going to come through in a couple of key moments.
Frank Isola, how will this game be won?
You got to keep Mahomes off the field. Houston and Indianapolis did it during the regular season. That's how the game will be won. You got to keep him off the field somehow.
Ramona Shelburne?
I think best player in the field wins, and I think that's Patrick Mahomes. I agree with me, and I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this one, and Patrick Mahomes has just had an incredible year.
Woody Page.
I think it's going to be lower scoring. Patrick Mahomes leads a comeback victory in the final 2 minutes, and they win by 28-23. That's what's going to happen.
Mina, that bass is still pumping. Was that Mike Ryan on the ones and twos? I mean, he's really working hard there. Okay. I heard picks from everybody, but Frank, you were a little bit cagey here. Getting picks from you guys is like pulling them from the mouth of a large, mostly herbivorous, semi-aquatic ungulate.
Oh,
again,
no.
Cincinnati Zoo. I mean, went for the Chiefs, but then what happened? Oh, my goodness. Oh. Pukey hippos. All right, here they are, all the picks. And now we get Frank on record. Frank. You took San Francisco.
27-24.
All right.
Niners.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Can't imagine there will be a more emotional moment on a basketball court this year than the Staples Center tonight. Lakers and their tribute. And first game back since the death of Kobe Bryant. Ramona, you will be there. What are you expecting? And is it okay to wonder how this Lakers team will do from a basketball standpoint after all this?
Well, you know, I think planning this game has given people in the Lakers organization some purpose this week because they really want to get this right. They want to strike the right mix of poignant and mournful, but also celebratory with the tributes and things that they do for Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and also the seven others who were killed in the helicopter crash. I think that's very important to everybody. So it's given them some purpose right now when they're grieving. I think you can expect an atmosphere unlike anything else any of us have ever experienced. And it's, you know, I was at Lakers practice yesterday. I saw Rob Pelinka, the general manager. He's been with the team, but he's also been one of the most direct liaisons with Vanessa Bryant and the family throughout this. And it was, I just couldn't process it. I mean, he's got to help bury a guy that was like a brother to him. He's got to help his family through this. And then next week he has the trade deadline. I don't know how to do it.
He was Kobe's agent his entire career. I believe he's godfather to Gigi as well. When you hear people say LeBron's going to come out and score 81 tonight, or LeBron's going to come out, they're not going to lose the rest of the season. They're going to be motivated by this. How do you even process that, Ramona?
Well, you know, the Lakers have been pretty good in their messaging of saying, like, you know, yeah, of course you're going to, everything about this season is for Kobe, right? But what they really need to do is play to honor him. And I've seen a lot of teams come out, you know, after something like this, but there's really never been anything like this. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. Carmelo Anthony, who said he was looking forward to seeing Kobe tonight at the game in a tweet, he's not even playing. You know, he's still mourning, still grieving. So I know people want to say they can do that. LeBron said that I'll put that on my shoulders. But you don't know how that's going to feel until you get on that court.
Woody Page, any expectation for tonight?
Ramona, respectfully, I think Frank and I have experienced after 9/11 at least a similar situation. And based on those experiences in New York, I can say that I think that you've had a chance to mourn here for 5 or 6 days. Now's an opportunity to celebrate Kobe and his daughter and the others who were killed in the crash. Celebrate their lives and make it a joyful night, even though there's going to be continued care and concern about what happened. And I think as a result of that, the Lakers are going to come out and play their best game of the year. I think that they'll really be motivated to say, let's celebrate this for Kobe.
Mina Kimes?
I agree. I mean, I expect there to be a lot of emotion, but hopefully a sense of catharsis. I've been in Miami since Sunday, and this has dominated the conversation all week, not just amongst fans and journalists, but amongst the football players playing in this game. They've been affected by this. They've been waiting for this. And thus far, the Lakers and everyone associated with them have been grieving in private. Now it becomes public, and I think it's going to affect a lot of people because of that.
You know, the game, of course, is trivial, but, you know, Laker Nation, the fans, the city of L.A., they need it just like New York needed that game that the Mets played. The Mets played the first sporting event in New York after September 11th. Yes, the game is trivial, but people needed something like that. And I think tonight you're going to get that same type of emotion at Staples Center.
And that's what it's felt like for the last week in the NBA as well. Like games, the results, just record them and move on, almost like sleepwalking through it all. Frank, do you believe, when you hear people say, LeBron's got to come out and score 60 or 70 or 81 for Kobe. That's putting a bar out there that's unattainable.
And you know what? It's hard to take, you know, to measure anything from any of these games or take anything away from whatever happens tonight is going to happen. People are going to remember it as Kobe Bryant's night. That's what it's about.
We'll move on. All-star reserves. Here's the list. And here comes the Storm Ungdrang. Bradley Beal, upset.
I'm a little pissed off about it.
Giannis was irked about his teammates, especially Eric Bledsoe not being on the team and having a winning team not represented as much as he wanted. Devin Booker's got a case. As with all things in life, Woody Page, if you want something, something must be taken away. Buy or sell the reserves, buy or sell the venting about the snubbery. Who would you put in, but who are you taking out?
I would buy Booker and I would take out Ingram. Booker is an opportunity to be one of only six players in history this season to actually shoot over 50%, over six assists a game, and shoot over 50% and average 27 points. And I know you're going to ask me, who are the other five? Well, that would be the two Jays, James, Jordan, Bird, Curry.
Incredible. All right, we have a rest of a show to go, but the incredible job, Woody. Mina Kimes, how about you?
I think Bradley Beal makes a great point. I mean, his numbers are really similar to Trae Young's, who's also on a bad team. Trae Young is a starter. Beal couldn't even make it. So I would put him in. I would take out Kyle Lowry. I know his contributions go way beyond, you know, the obvious numbers in the box score. But Beal's third in score. I mean, third in points per game. It's just not fair.
Gasola?
In the player vote, they voted Bradley Beal second. The media voted him fifth among guards, which means he would have gotten in based on the players and the media. The coaches only voted in the seven reserves who are on teams with winning records. Meanwhile, in the Western Conference, Ja Morant, whose team has a winning record, is in the playoffs, should be in it. No offense, Brandon Ingram, but Ja Morant should be in that game.
Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah, I actually agree with you, Frank. I think Ja Morant should be in it. The Grizzlies have been one of the great, the best stories in the NBA this year, and Ja Morant is the rookie of the year. I know what Zion Williamson's coming back, but Ja Morant's got to be that guy. Bradley Beal's got an interesting case. I mean, they're basically two great offensive players on bad defensive teams. And Trae Young gets in on the popularity contest. And you know what, though? That's kind of what All-Star is. I don't know that Trae Young makes it if he's not voted in as a starter by the fans. Sometimes you have to give the people what they want.
Well, I'm not sure we're giving the people what they want. Although I did notice one thing, Ramona.
You said,
I actually agree with you, Frank. When you're quoting Mina Kimes, you're like, thank you, Mina, I'm stealing your material. When you agree with Frank, you're like, I actually agree with you. Surprising myself, even.
That's not good. Never good.
Mina Kimes, have a great Super Bowl. We have a Woody Page, Frank Isola showdown in 2 minutes.
About time.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
The chances Tom Brady is messing with you people. It's got to be 100%. That this is either a Super Bowl ad that's going to be rolled out Sunday, or he's facing forward while walking backwards. It came out Thursday before the Super Bowl with no words. Woody Page, Frank Isola, welcome to Showdown. What does it mean, Woody?
It means he's trying to take over the Super Bowl at the end of the week. You played in plenty of games, Tom. Let other quarterbacks dominate this Super Bowl. And we know it's Gillette Stadium, thanks to our researcher, Caroline.
You know, if Odell Beckham had done this, we'd be saying he's looking to draw attention to himself 4 days before the Super Bowl. And because Tom Brady's 42 years old, I have to be thinking this part of a commercial. If not, come on, Tom. This is
I agree with you. I think commercial. You're right, though. We Caroline found out. New England Revolution banner is a little bit in the background.
Nice.
So it was definitely Gillette. We'll move on. Showdown 2. Kyle Lowry into the first row again to save a ball. Again, a fan pushes him back. This has been an ongoing thing. Why is Kyle Lowry getting this? And then in Denver, Woody, Joe Inglis and this fan on the way out. Frank, is this something or nothing?
That was me.
You know what? This stuff used to go on all the time. It's just that everything now becomes viral, and the NBA likes the fact that fans could sit close to the court. Did it look ugly? Yeah, but nothing's going to change. Fans are still going to be sitting courtside. Need to probably behave a little bit better, though.
Frank, those people that sit in those ego seats that cost so much money, they should just shut up and back off and let the players play. That's why they used to call the game, called the cagers, because they used to put nets around the court because of interference.
Pushing him back onto the court. He was pushing him back.
I don't know. You say the NBA likes this. I don't know. They don't like it making the news like this in Showdown 2. Point Woody Page. We'll move on. Zion, Ja tonight for the first time in their NBA careers. This is a big game. Not the first time they're on the court together, by the way. AAU, South Carolina Hornets. Zion was 6'3". Ja was 5'9 at this time. A lot's changed. For tonight, Woody, how much do you think the head-to-head matters to them? And what are you most excited about?
Well, it matters to me, and I assume it's going to matter to them that facing for the first time in the NBA, 1-2, we're going to see opposing dunks. We're going to see guys trying to – I hope Zion plays more, but Morant's been playing great lately.
It's amazing. They look like little kids in that photo. They still look like little kids. I think what we're all waiting for is that one Zion Williamson dunk. Yes, he's had a dunk, but we're looking for the real highlight reel one. That's what we want to see.
Woody Page, love your look today. You're going with that mafioso priest that I love so much. Point FaceTime, 30 seconds.
Every year at Super Bowl, I give you a recipe. It's been guacamole or it's been barbecue ribs. This time it's Woody's Possible Super Burger. Meat.
Possible.
Not that other stuff that Tony eats. Worcestershire sauce. Ground chunk. Mustard.
Yeah. Okay.
French onion soup, dry mix. Mix it together. Cook it 4 minutes on each side on the grill. Put barbecue sauce on it. Super burger.
It's a possible burger. Anything is possible with Woody Page. Have a great Super Bowl, everybody.
My ears are bleeding.